Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
So a couple of weeks ago, we were in our Proverbs series, and I mentioned that we had a conversation in the office. It was amongst, I believe, all the pastoral staff, and we talked about where we need to go as a church, and how we as leaders and as a corporate body need to follow Jesus and what that looks like. And one part of the conversation was, what is the best thing that we as pastors can do with our time and energy and resources to lead the whole church into following Jesus to the full extent of their capacity, to the full extent of their calling, the full extent of their gifts? And one of the things that came out of that was, one thing that I should be doing is less about speaking on a Sunday morning than investing in people that can speak on a Sunday morning, people that have a that might be have a future that are involved in ministry and need that investment. And in a lot of churches, that those opportunities aren't available. And so 2 weeks ago, we had Judah, my son, speak, which was kind of an honor and a privilege, and he's 21. And then I also picked on somebody else. And Judah's partner in crime in his youth ministry and on his podcast is Ben Routley. And so Ben Routley is going to be speaking to us this morning. And I would just want to give you, or invite you to give him a warm welcome as he steps out. Good luck.
Thanks. Take a couple breaths. So hi. Wow, there's a lot of you. Holy. I'm used to 25 youth in a very small theater. All right, I just want to start with a story today. So I have this friend, Kyle. And so a couple years ago, he was planning to go away for school. And, you know, that's all he wanted to do was you know, get up and go away to school and live on his own away from his parents. And he had a moment before he left where God was like, hey, hang on. Don't go. Stay here. You know, work in your church. And that's what I want you to do. And believe me, he wanted nothing more than to leave, nothing more. The last thing he wanted to do was to hang around here and live at home, because all he had thought about in high school was getting out of the house and going home. Or sorry, going out and living on his own. But it was that moment with God that he said, I'm going to stay and I'm going to remain here. And now this was super scary for him and also kind of a big bummer. You know, who wants to stay when they can go away to work in their church, right? But he knew that God's plan for him, this plan that God was setting him on, would be far more beneficial for him than this plan that he had conceived in his head that he believed would bring him happiness. Because ultimately, you know, what I want to say today is that God calls us to greater things than our own personal happiness, than our own personal comfort. All right, these plans that we conceive in our heads that we think would bring us happiness are a second to what God has planned for us. So that's a segue into our Proverbs series, Living Skillfully. My phone number is at the top of the screen. If you want to text me questions for after, maybe toss me a couple softballs, because I don't imagine I'll be able to hit those ones, those hard ones. But yeah, also we got crosslands.live if you want to follow along today. There's some questions on there too, you know, so where do we go from here stuff, you know, to help apply what I'm going to talk about today to your life. All right, so I'll go straight into my verse. So the verse I've picked today is, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Proverbs 19:21. This is NLT here, where the church uses all the time. But I decided to, you know, in order to break this down, I decided to go look at the direct translation from Hebrew. And the direct translation from Hebrew is a little bit more, I'm going to silence this. The direct translation from Hebrew is a little more like, you know, hefty. It's many there are the plans in the heart of a man, and nevertheless the counsel of Yahweh that will stand. So I decided to break this down a little bit more. So pretty much how it goes. It's, the first part is, many there are the plans in the heart of a man. So in other writings, the heart is often associated with straight feeling rather than logic and an actual good thought. So this heart, when they say this heart, this is specifically they're trying to say heart, is that a heart is this this kind of stupid thing that makes plans based on selfish desire, based on feeling. But then you continue on, and nevertheless the counsel of Yahweh will stand. So nevertheless the counsel is saying that many of the plans that man conceives in their heart are uncertain, brought about by selfish desires, brought about by feeling. But the counsel of Yahweh, or the counsel of God, is a sure plan. He'll always bring about correct counsel, and he will always lead you in the direction that he believes is perfect for you. And basically what I'm saying is that only the plans that God approves will truly succeed. Now, success, what do I mean by success? Now, success can be defined in different ways from different people. Success for some people is a big house and a bunch of money and a Tesla, which sounds really cool. But that's not truly success. Is that truly success? Are you truly fulfilled in that? Does a big house and a big car or a nice car and a lot of money bring you that fulfillment, when over here you've got a perfect plan for you that won't necessarily bring that, maybe, but not necessarily? Over here you've got this perfect plan. Now it sounds like a bummer, big time, right? When I think about it, it sounds like a bummer. Over here you've got this awesome luxurious house and a lot of money and a big Tesla because Teslas are so cool. And then over here you've got this meek plan, and like you're not going to have that big house, you're not going to have that thing, you're going to be stuck in this cookie cutter job that you're not passionate about. But no, that's not the case. It's like Judah said 2 weeks ago, if you were here, God wants us to succeed. He's not going to leave us out to dry, right? He wants you to come into a thing where he believes that you're going to be fully fulfilled. It's going to be perfect for you. He's not going to leave you out to dry. But if you ignore his prompting, then you miss out. And you miss out on that thing. You know, we live in this post-Christian, post-modern society where you're told that your number one goal should be to pursue your own happiness. And whatever means that means, whether it means cutting out toxic people or leaving a spouse or leaving a job, if that is what is going to lead you to your own personal happiness, then that's what you should do. People have been taught to take their feelings, dare I say repetitive feelings, as truth. If you feel as though you're not happy in the situation, you should leave. Because they're taking this heart, the thing that I talked about in the original thing, this heart that comes, that conceives plans from selfish desire, from feelings, and they take that as truth, and they say, I'm not happy in this situation, so I'm going to take that and go over here to this awesome, better thing, right? When over here, God's got this plan that's perfect for you. Now, why waste time pursuing these plans? They sound cool, right? When I was in high school, I thought all I want to do is get out of school and then go and have this awesome life, this big house and money and a cool car, and then that would make me happy. And I'd be good, I'd be fulfilled, I'd be happy, I'd be sitting, you know, on my ivory tower, all good to go. But why waste time with that when there's a plan over here, a perfect plan that's perfectly suited for you? This God didn't just like come up with this plan that he thinks is going to leave you in a rut. He's got this perfect plan for you over here. And a plan that will succeed. A plan that won't bring about happiness, this one-dimensional, fleeting feeling of happiness that just goes away. Like you get that big car and that big house, you have this momentary happiness, you're like, yes, this is awesome, and then it goes away. It doesn't bring that happiness, it brings fulfillment. Fulfillment that stays. All right, fulfillment that is deep and satisfying. Spiritual fulfillment. God calls us to greater things than our own happiness. That's not why we're here. We're not here to have this big house. We're not here to do that. We're here to be fulfilled by God, to be spiritually fulfilled, to do his work. Now, this may sound like what I'm saying right now is that this afternoon, right after here, you got to go out of this church in this big dramatic statement and drop and call your boss and say, hey, I quit, and drop everything and go and pursue God's plan. Right? In this big dramatic statement. But no, that's not what I'm saying. It's done in steps. You know, it starts with being open to God's plan for you. Because it's perfect. Like my friend, I talked about the beginning, small changes in plans here and there. That same friend is dropping out of school, the two-year program he's been in for the past 2 years, and he's going to Bible college in September. And a little twist of the story is that that friend is actually me. I'll be dropping out of school these past 2 years to go to Bible college in September. And, you know, it's nuts. It's scary. Oh, thanks. It's scary, right? It's nuts. But for me, it wasn't this big dramatic change, right? It wasn't like me all of a sudden deciding that I'm going to follow God's plan in this big dramatic statement, but it was multiple years of tiny course corrections by God. He said, all right, you're going to go here and here and here. All I had to do was be open. All I had to do was say, what do you want me to do with my life? And then do it, right? So some of you may be sitting here thinking, you know, I'm on the right track. I feel you. Good job. Keep going. Power through. All right? It's an uphill battle, always. Some of you may be sitting here feeling directionless. I've also been in that boat. I feel you. It's not a good boat to be in. If that's you, then I challenge you this week, take little steps. You know, pray about your budget. Is it leading you in a direction where God wants you to go? Pray about plans for September if you're, you know, my age. If you're going to school, is that where God wants you to go? All right? Is everything in your life formulated toward these plans that you've conceived in your heart of big house, money, nice car, or are they formulated toward this, nevertheless, the counsel, this perfect plan that God has for you? Which one, you know? And then some of you may also be sitting here and have no idea what I'm saying. You'll be like, wait, whoa, there's someone who has a plan for me? What? And this idea of this God who has a plan for you, who has your back, is something that, you know, sounds cool that you want a part of. And for that, you may be wondering, you know, what your next steps are. You know, your next step could be just following Jesus, accepting him. And for that, we say this every Sunday, but it is as easy as ABC. A, admit your need for Christ. You know, admit that you're broken and that you need him. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Believe he is the Savior, the one, the true, the answer. And C, commit your life to him. Commit your plans to him, because it is crazy what he can do. The thought of having a big house to me now is cool still, but it's nothing compared to what I know that God will do with me. All right, the waves he'll make in my life, the waves he'll help me make in other people's lives, it's nuts. It's so much more fulfilling to think that I'm on track there than I am going after these selfish things that I think I'm going to make me happy. What time we got here? I'll text some text messages. Ooh, I have some. Oh, okay. Some congratulations. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. Another proverb. We will pray for your studies. Thank you, whoever that is. What else we got here? How do you know when God might be prompting you to change your course? That's a good question. It can be tough to know when, you know, when you're on the right track and when you're not. But all I can say for me personally, it was just prayer. That's the biggest one. And not just prayer as in sitting there going, God, what do you want? Like, tell me. It's saying, God, what do you want? And then listening. Just quietly listening. Because I think oftentimes what people miss about prayer is it's not supposed to just be us talking. A conversation is two-way. All right? You talk to God, but then you stop and you listen. And I believe that in that listening, you'll feel those promptings, all right? If you want, or if God wants to you know, course correct you. But I can tell you that, you know, for me, it was tiny stuff. It was little promptings that I decided to listen to and then move on. And now I've got, you know, I guess the final push into Bible college. Well, by final push, I mean I'm kind of on the track, but I'm sure there'll be plenty more challenges from there. But let's see. Regardless of how you define successful, I'd say your sermon was it. Thanks, Sam. Can you offer advice or wisdom for parents of a child who seem directionless? That's fair. So can you offer advice or wisdom for parents of a child who seems directionless? That's tough, too. I'm not a parent, right? Obviously, I'm pretty young. But it would be nuts if I was a parent. But from what I can think of, I can imagine how that would be tough to look at that child and say, shoot, like, I want to go in there, but I also want God to have his work there. So, you know, from me, like, I'm not a parent, so I'll give you the best thing I can think of. But what I would say is, you know, pray, like, prompt your child, like, be there for him always, or her, sorry. But don't step in and try and correct them yourself. I would say just give it up to God. The same way, I just forgot, Anthony was talking about giving that to God, giving it to the Lord, because the Lord's going to have that child's back. So I would say just give it to the Lord. Say, God, what are you going to do in his life? Be there for him, right? Don't back off. Or her. I keep saying him. God, not inclusive here. Him or her, but don't don't back off, but be there for them, but also at the same time say, God, I'm giving it to you. Go for it. A couple other things here. Okay. Perfect. Good point. A dialogue versus a monologue. Yeah, that's a big thing. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. As much as God loves hearing you talk to him, he wants to talk to you. So let him talk. But I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we close service. Oh, wow, I'm mad early. But with my final point, what I want to close with is God calls us to greater things than our own happiness, but he also wants us to be successful and to be fulfilled. So when he calls us to greater things than our own happiness, it doesn't mean that we're always going to be, you know, sad and down, all right? It also doesn't mean that it's going to be sunshine and rainbows because, you know, God never said it would. But I can promise you that while that sounds cool, right over here will be the perfect plan for you because God has tailored it for you, you specifically. And that blows my mind to think of that there's a God up there who says, hey, I've got a plan just for you. It's not so. I'm going to pray. We'll close. God, thank you for your love. Thank you that you have this perfect plan for each of us. It's just nuts. It blows my mind that there's this God up here who knows me personally. Out of all these billions of people on the planet, he knows me personally. He's got a plan specifically for me. That's nuts. So I just pray that everyone in this room would be open to you in their life, would be open to your plan in their life. You know, because that's all it starts with, is being open so that you can, you know, make course corrections and prompt. It can be a scary jump, I know, but you know, I pray today for strength and for boldness for everyone in this room, and that we may be able to take those small steps in our lives toward this perfect plan that you have for us. Yeah, in your name we pray, God. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.